I think we would all be amazed if we all stood where these other people stood. We were with them, and we didn't know who our Lord was. All we knew that he was the son of a carpenter who would not have been educated. A carpenter wouldn't have been educated. And they would have thought of him as one, just another man, just like the rest of them. Yet here he comes, and he teaches the way he teaches, which is even better, stronger, with more authority than even the scribes and Pharisees who were educated. He can teach with such authority. And then he turns to a demoniac, commands the unclean spirit, and it comes out of him. It obeys. And he did it several times, actually. That's why they're so amazed, and they ask, well, who is this? Who can do this? All we see here is a simple man, uneducated, as far as they knew. But what they didn't see, which of course we wouldn't be able to see, is the fact that this, that is, we wouldn't see with our own senses, our regular natural senses, we wouldn't see, that the man who is teaching with this authority and is commanding the unclean spirits which who obey is also God. And that is where the authority comes from and the power comes from. We would be amazed at the power and perhaps even seeking some of it ourselves, or at least seeking to experience it. Hey, can we be cured of this or that malady, this or that evil? Wow, right? We'd be all amazed and probably flocking just to see. Unless we really understand that the man doing this is God. It's also God. This is our Lord, God and man. Then we might say, just as it was the King of France, actually, who was on one occasion, who was a very devout Catholic, you understand, and the people came to him, oh, come to the church. There's a miracle happening. There we see the face of our Lord on the wall. And the king responded, I don't need a miracle to believe. You see, he already believed that Christ was God there present in the Eucharist. I didn't need a miracle to believe. And that's the way it should be for all of us. We don't need a miracle to believe. We already believe. We are taught this. It's really revealed to us in scriptures. We know. We already believe. The question is, do we stop to reflect on that, what we believe, and seek to put it into action? Do we seek to live it? There's the real question. Or do we tend to forget and then fall back on all our just natural passions and natural satisfactions and not even pay attention? And then what happens? And that's the other thing we really need to reflect on with today's liturgy. Because that's basically the central theme of today's gospel passage. What has our Lord done here? He has delivered a man from an unclean spirit, from a devil. Now, we have to ask ourselves, do we have something unclean to be delivered from? And the answer is, if we stop to reflect, it's going to be a resounding yes, and it's continual, it's constant, it's called sin. We ask ourselves, why, if God exists and is really a loving, caring God, why are we surrounded by all of this evil in the world and all of this turbulence? Why are we surrounded by it, filled with it? And we are. And that's because we keep falling into sin. Sin is the cause of that evil, not God. And God doesn't will it either. He permits it, but he doesn't will it. He is waiting for us to turn to him. He's waiting for us to stop sinning and say, we choose you, we want to follow you, we want to love you. That's what he's waiting for. He's waiting for us to turn away from all of that sin. In fact, we go back, I believe it's even in this gospel passage here too, in this gospel, according to this evangelist as well, but the very first words that are given that our Lord preaches, that we hear from our Lord, remember what they were? Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Now, what does that word mean? It's the same root as the word penance. Well, it literally means conversion. We have to turn from something. What is it we have to turn from? Sin. And we all fall into it. And sometimes very easily. I believe it's St. Augustine that tells us we fall 7 times a day. Now, does that mean literally we fall 7 times a day? Maybe not. Perhaps some do, some don't. But we all fall, that's the point. And sometimes very easily without even thinking about it. And what are we doing when we fall into sin? We're turning away from God. You see? If it weren't for God, we wouldn't be here right now. We have to stop and reflect on that. If God were to cease to think of us for a moment, we'd cease to exist. He preserves us here. He put us here, he preserves us here. Why? Because he wants to share his life with us. Now, in order to be able to do that, we have to be able to love. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to do that. God is love, so how can we do it if we can't love? What is love? Where does that reside? It's in our will. We have a free will. That's what makes us who we are. We have a free will. We have an intelligence so we can determine what is good, and then we have the free will to be able to choose it. That's our capacity to love. If we didn't have that, we wouldn't be able to do it. Well, we wouldn't be able to love. We wouldn't be able to choose God. You see? But we have that, and God respects it. He waits for us to make that choice. And we can choose to go the other way. That's what sin is. You see? Now there are three types of sins. There's original sin, which is the sin committed by Adam and Eve, which we've all inherited. And that's removed with baptism. But then we also have the actual sins that we commit, and there are two, mortal and venial. Mortal cuts us off from God completely. That's a very sad experience. And if we are cut off, God has given us the means. Our Lord has given us the means to come back into the state of grace. That's the sacrament of confession, repentance, where we go in and we express our sorrow for those sins, and we can do that for venial and should, for venial sins as well. And then with the absolution, we are restored to the friendship of God. We are restored to the state of grace. And with the church, we are restored. Then there are the venial sins, which don't cut us off from God, but they start to turn us away and they weaken us. And the more we fall into them, the closer we are to making the big fall, the mortal sin, you see? So what God is asking us to do is to turn away even from the venial sins. Certainly, we want to be, with all horror, stay away from mortal sins. We want to make every effort to stay away from that. But we want to stay away from anything that keeps us away from our love for God, which St. Thomas Aquinas calls devotion, our love for God. We want to stay away from anything that keeps us from that, even the venial sins, particularly the deliberate ones. We want to avoid those. We want to stay away from all that offends him. There is how we show our love for him. That's what Our Lady asked the children of Fatima. And through them, all of us, tell the world to stop sinning. I can hardly hold the hand of my son any further. Stop sinning. And pray, much. Pray. And sacrifice, there's the penance, sacrifice in reparation for those sins, and for those who have no one to pray for them. You see, that's why she showed them the vision of hell. See, that's hell where sinners go who have nobody to pray for them. We must pray much. And she told them to pray the rosary every day. Pray every day. Pray the rosary. She told Lucia later on, there's not one problem, not even one, that cannot be resolved with the recitation of the rosary. Pray every day and sacrifice. That's making that reparation. There's the repentance. We're saying we're turning away. We want to love God. We want to be with him. That's what penance does. And that's why we must seek to practice it. Because we have to really reflect and realize, see how much that offends him. Every sin, even the littlest ones. We need only look and should. That's another practice we should do every day, even a little bit of reflection on the passion and death of our Lord. Look at him on the cross there. That's how much our sins offend him. That's how much he loves us in return. To go through all of that. That's why he did it. For the love of us. That's where Our Lady stood near the cross, offering it herself for the love of us. Do we love Him in return? Are we willing to make that effort? To say, I love You, Lord. I want to share Your life with You. Help me to stop sinning. And He will grant the grace through Our Most Blessed Lady, of course. He will grant the grace, but we have to practice. We have to work with it. We can't just sit back. All right? We have to do our part. We have to really make the effort to turn away from the bad habits, the bad vices, you see, that lead us to the venial sins, which will then, of course, lead us to the mortal sins. And we can't be just, well, okay, that's just a little thing. I won't worry about it. No. We have to reflect on those two. Every little sin offends Him. He suffered on the cross for each and every one of them. All of them. That's how much He loves us. To willingly die for them. Do we love Him in return? Enough to stop sinning, to turn away from all of that, and give ourselves back to Him with all our hearts, with all our being. That's the obedience of faith that the Second Vatican Council calls it, the obedience of faith, to give Him everything, even our free wills. Not an easy thing to do. But that's what He's waiting for us to do, so that He can share with us His very life, and that for all eternity. Let us seek then always to turn away from every possible offense against that God who loves us so much, to place us here, to be willing to share His life with us if we will choose it, and even to suffer and die for it on the cross for all of us. Let us seek always to love Him in return. Grace be Jesus and Mary.